So we're gonna continue in this theme called soul care. And our key passage, if you go to the next slide, our key passage is this. When Jesus said this, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet lose their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? He's saying that our souls are more valuable than anything. It's the most important thing for us to be paying attention to. And he's saying we can easily lose our souls. They can kind of fall apart. We can become soulless. We can exchange them for other things. We can think that other things are more valuable or more important and not pay attention to taking care of our souls. One of the most important pieces of wisdom I've received is this, is that the most important thing in life isn't what you accomplish, it's about what kind of person you become. The most important thing in life isn't what you accomplish, but it's the kind of person you become. I know in some ways that kind of just sounds like, yeah, this is the kind of thing I hear at church or whatever, right? But to really, truly think about that, like I am an Enneagram 3, get her done. I really, you know, get motivated by the end product, what I get done, what I accomplish. I know university students, you guys are sort of like all of you, whether you're not an Enneagram 3 or not, you guys are all kind of like a breed of that, right? You're here to accomplish something. You desire to be successful. You're going to come away from this 4 years, you know, like more accomplished. That's kind of your goal, right? And that's all good as long as you understand that this season, what's more important in there isn't just what you accomplish, but what kind of person you're becoming. And it isn't really hard to understand that wisdom when you look at the life of someone who's accomplished a lot, but then does something poor in their life or treats people poorly or makes some seriously bad decisions. And then you realize, you're like, wow, everything you accomplished, it doesn't really weigh up to if you're a really terrible person, right? And we probably all can think of people in our lives or people that have disappointed us that you go, wow, like what is most important in life is who you are becoming. And as Christians, what we're trying to pay attention to that is the kind of person we want to become is like Jesus. He's the only one that can help us become the kind of person that God wants us to be. So in this series, we're talking about soul. And if you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, we've been trying to say, well, how do we understand what is a soul? If Jesus, you're saying the most important thing is our soul, well, what is a soul? And we've been kind of sitting with this this catchphrase here. If you want to care for something, you have to understand it. That's why we're taking time to delve into this. Because if you want to know how to care for your soul, you better understand what is a soul. Okay, next slide. And so I use this diagram to kind of help us think about some of the components of who we are. So each one of us have a will. We have an ability to choose. And sometimes we think we're, you know, that's all we need, right? We just need to, like, will ourselves to be good people, right? Try real hard. But we also have a mind, right? Many of us try to operate our lives through our mind, right? I'm just going to make, you know, good, smart decisions, right? Some of us just live our lives through our feelings, right? And then lastly, we all of us have a body. We have to live out our lives through this, you know, this body of who we are. It's the place that allows our will to reign and allows our mind to act out our thoughts. It's where our feelings are acted out. But our soul, and when we talk about who we are as a person, it's the integration of all of that. It's not just one of these pieces or what have you. It's all of who we are. And when our soul is healthy, it means we're integrating well all these parts in a way that's in harmony with God's will. And then on the other side of it, when we kind of like are losing our souls, it's when we are disintegrated in these ways. So we can't lose our souls like we like lose some car keys, okay? You can't lose your soul. You are a soul. But our souls can get out of whack. They can become unhealthy. They can become disintegrated. And I think that these three things of who we are will, mind, and body, in a lot of ways, they're sort of like givens. Like, you just sort of get given a certain capacity around a will, right? Like, we know some people who just have stronger wills than others, right? And they're just kind of like, you know, that's kind of part of their DNA. In some ways, too, like, we know you're in class and you just realize, man, that person's really sharp. And they just seem to, like, get it easier than other people. And that's just sort of their lot in life. Some of us are sharper than others, you know? Some of us are more in tune with our feelings than others, and we just kind of have a certain capacity, right? And our body, same thing. In a lot of ways, we just, like, it's, we have a certain body we've been given. You know, I've trained really, really hard in basketball. I try to do all the training I can, but guess what? I'm still 5'9", and that's all I can do. That's there's a limit, you know? Like, we just are, all of us are given a certain, we can take care of our bodies and be really healthy with them. We can have unhealthy bodies. At the same time, there's a degree of just sort of what we've been given. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is, in a lot of ways, these are things that are just sort of part of our DNA, who we are. We can manage them. They can be healthy and unhealthy. But I think two things that we get to manage a lot more, that we can, that we have a lot more influence on, and that are real, real big factors in our life, is the environments that we place ourselves in, and the kind of friendships and community that we choose to build. Those, I think, are really important ones that we need to pay attention. And so tonight, that's what I want to talk about. I want to add those two elements to this diagram that we've been talking about. But first, some stories. Okay, consider these stories. The first one, you can go to the next slide. I should have said this too. See, this is why you have slides. When we are not centered in Jesus, our soul cries out in distress. And so that's what we need to pay attention to. When our souls aren't doing well, our answer is, hey, how do we center ourselves in Jesus? Okay, next slide. Stories. No, stories. There you go. And then the next one. There you go. Okay, four stories. First one. Guy named Will. I really looked forward to going to university. I found high school homework easy. I knew university would bring the challenge I was looking for. I took all the hard sciences, but I found I really excelled in math and physics. I concentrated most of my focus and energy on getting not only the best grades in my class, but I was trying to be the best in my year. For most of my life, I've been able to achieve the goals I've been striving for. Some of my friends have nicknamed me Bootstraps because I'm always talking about how I'm pulling myself up by my own bootstraps. By my third year, professors were asking me to be their TA, which felt good. But what I was really hoping for is to be asked to do an honors degree. And then that came next. When I graduated from university, I had two significant offers. I could go on and do a PhD, but also TELUS recruited me with a starting salary of $85,000. That seemed too good to pass up, so I took the job. But it's a year later now, and I'm starting to wonder if I made the right decision. I sort of have accomplished everything I was working towards, and now it's kind of like that U2 song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Maybe I'll buy a condo this year. Second story, girl named Joy. I've always found making friends easy. I don't mean to brag, but I'm pretty likable and fun. So I didn't join UCM because I'm lonely or something. It's more that I know that being part of this would be good for me. Plus, for the first time in a while, I'm taking a break from dating. In high school, I always had a boyfriend. Boyfriends aren't serious in high school. It's just fun to have someone to do stuff with. And like I said, I'm pretty likable, so I never found it hard to not have a boyfriend. Plus, with my mom always working and my dad not being around, it's nice to have someone who has a car. You know what I mean? But like I said, I'm now at university, and I think my next relationship will be a bit more serious. So I'm going to take a break for a while. But you never know. Okay, third story. A guy named Soma. I think what I appreciated most about UCM was having a place to serve. I enjoyed being a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. Because I owned a truck, it just made sense to help every week with transportation. I know that you would always tell me that I don't have to do it every week, but it makes me feel useful. And since I left university, I don't have the same opportunity to be involved anywhere, at least not to the same degree. But hey, I wanted to tell you something. You know how I was telling you I was feeling kind of empty? I never told you that I had this bad habit of staying up late and binge-watching videos and stuff. Till really late. But anyways, all that recently changed. I didn't think the lack of sleep was actually affecting me, but since I stopped doing that, I've had more energy, and to be honest, I've noticed being a better friend to others. And yeah, I'm actually reading my Bible more. Fourth story, guy named Buddy. Hi, my name's Buddy. That's my Canadian name. I didn't find UCM until my second year. In my first year, I just stayed in my dorm room and slept a lot. I still sleep a lot, but one of my RAs talked to me about being homesick and encouraged me to get out more. Anyways, that was about when someone on my floor invited me to UCM core group. In a lot of ways, it's been a lifesaver. I guess I didn't realize how important friendships are to my well-being. In our study of the book of John, I learned that Jesus came to give life and life abundantly, and I want to live that way. Thanks again for all your work on campus. I'm sorry I don't come every week. I'll try better next year. Even though our culture doesn't talk much about the soul, our language often reveals it in unconscious ways. We say things like, I feel like my life is falling apart. I just can't get myself together. I'm falling apart at the seams, right? It's this language of like, I need things to be, you know, integrated, better, connected. I'm missing something. So a lost soul isn't about us going to heaven or hell. A lost soul is a diagnosis, not a destination. And our soul is unhealthy when we exclude God's invitation from parts of who we are. So, like when we try to, like we were already talking about today, right? When we try to take control and make the world bend around us, if I can just will my life to be better, right? Like when we, as men and women, have feelings that are focused just on finding someone to have a romantic relationship with, right? When we just kind of get all consumed with that. Or, like, when we think the answer is, like in this one of these stories, is just like, serving more. If I could just be useful until our body is exhausted and we aren't paying attention to our thoughts or our feelings and we aren't paying attention to how Jesus, we're inviting Jesus into all aspects of who we are. So, I don't want you to get the wrong impression, though, too. I'm not saying that attending our soul means that we can't tend to striving for achievements or finding a romantic relationship or trying to be the top of your class. Those are all good things you can strive for. But we just have to ask ourselves, what are we truly centered in? Instead of what we need to pay attention to is how these things mark our lives. One of the biggest challenges you'll face at university, like I was saying, is that this environment doesn't always focus on teaching us to pay attention to what matters most. Often you're told that university is about experiences, right? But they don't tell you or help you think through what kind of experiences, right? Which ones are good experiences? Which ones are bad? You know, maybe you've been told, hey, it's really important for you to have extracurricular activities on your resume, right? But which ones? Which ones will be good for me? Which ones won't help me as much? And Jesus actually told a story about this. Jesus tells this story, the parable of the soils. And he tells this story about these different kinds of soil. And he says that a farmer went out to sow seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some of the seed fell into different kinds of soil. Some fell along the path. Some fell along rocky places. Some fell on thorns. And finally, some fell on good soil. And it grew and produced a crop, multiplying some 30, 60, some 100 times. So he tells this parable publicly. And, you know, sometimes Jesus takes time to explain his story. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he just puts it out there and lets it be a bit of a, like a brain teaser, and lets it be a bit of like, hey, think about this, and makes people, you know, do the work of figuring it out. But sometimes he'll explain it. And this one, he takes the disciples aside and explains it, because he wants to make sure that they understand what he means by this story. And he goes on to tell them what's the most important thing. And if you look at this story, you see that seed is a consistent element in the story. And this story isn't about good seeds or bad seeds, right? The seed is constant. And the seed will take root given half a chance, right? And so for Jesus, what he's saying is the seed is his word. The seed is the gospel. The seed is Jesus' message about the kingdom. Everything that he's walking around teaching them about God's kingdom, he's like, that's the seed. And then in the story, he also explains that, you know, notice that the sower is constant as well, too. This isn't a story about a good sower or a bad sower, right? The sower is good. He's generous. The sower is inclusive. He scatters the seed everywhere. He isn't just picking some places to put it. He's generous with it. So God doesn't just choose some. He spreads it everywhere. But what Jesus explains is that it's the soil, right? That's the inconsistent thing in it. That's the variable element, right? And what he's saying is the soil is like our souls. And he says the hardened soil is like when we have hardened souls. Yeah, I'm going to mess this up, aren't I? The hardened soil is like when we have hardened souls. So, you know, in the Middle East, it's very dry. The ground gets hard easily, you know, pounded on over time. And that's what he's saying. He's saying it's like when seed is landing on a hardened pathway. And he says our souls can be like that too. Sometimes our souls are hardened because we've had hurts in our lives. Sometimes they've gotten hard in an attempt to protect ourselves. Sometimes we're suspicious, or we're disappointed, or, you know, we're bitter. Sometimes it's fear, or fear of rejection, fear of looking foolish, fear of broken pride. But a soul can be saved when the soil gets receptive. He also notices, he says that there's shallow soil, right? Some fell on rocky soil, meaning that there was only a thin layer of soil, right? And he's talking about shallow soil. It's not enough to grow in. You know, Richard Foster said, superficiality is the curse of our age. Right? So the desperate need for our soul is not for us to be smarter or more talented or more skilled or be more exciting, but he's saying what we need is greater depth. We have to be deep people. And Jesus says, but since they have no root, they last only a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall. So this is where it could take root, but it's not deep enough. They're not going to go the long path. They're not going to be sustained. You know, it's when our wills are thin, when our you know, our minds are thin about this, our endurance is thin. And then he mentions a third soil, a cluttered soil. He says, some seeds fall among thorns, which grow up and choke and are choked out by the plant, by the weeds. Right? The seed is choked out. And Jesus explains that this is, it's like when we have worries in life. It's like the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire of other things that come and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. And I know university life brings a lot of times of worry, right? University ethos dangles the carrot of wealth as that end goal, success as the end goal. University, you know, party culture, right, can be tempting at times. But it's the kind of thing that's going to choke you out in the end. Somebody said a long time ago that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy, right? That's another thing that we have to battle. It's just so easy to get our lives so busy that it chokes out the most important thing. We can easily mistake a busy life for a full life. And I think this is one of the things that it's very tempting as university students. You just to fill your life with so many things, and then that it's become so subtle, this deterioration in your soul. But lastly, Jesus names the good soil, right? And he basically is saying good soil is receptive soil, right? The seed's constant, the sower's constant. The question, the thing in this parable is he's saying the soil is variable, and what we need to seek to be is like the receptive soil. So Jesus isn't saying, at the end of this, it isn't like, and the question is, what kind of soil are you? No, because we can be all of these things at different times. Sometimes we can be all these things at different times of the week, right? Sometimes we can be shallow. Sometimes we can be hardened. Sometimes we can be too busy, right? And so what he's saying is that we are all those different types of soils at different times, but what we need to lean into and strive for is being receptive. Receptive to what? The seed. What's the seed? His word, his gospel, him, right? So next slide. So what we need is an inbreaking of Jesus' word and spirit to penetrate all of who we are, our souls. And what that will do is when Jesus works in us, when we're receptive to him, and we invite him fully into all of who we are, all these different elements of who we are, then he can produce faith out of us to be in communion with God, that we can be in alignment with God, that we can order ourselves to follow after God. And so like what I was talking about tonight was sort of like the environments that we put ourselves in affects us. So what does it take for us to be saved? How do we kind of make sure that we're practicing soul care? Well, being receptive to the seed, I think it actually demands something of you, right? So I'm giving you a vision tonight, but actually you have to go in now and do the hard work of enacting this, right? You have to go and do this. And what it means is you need to have a vehicle for that. You need to have a way to do that. And Jesus says this in Mark chapter 8. Next slide, yeah. So the passage right before ours in yellow, so ours is at the bottom here, he actually gives us the way for us to do this, the way for us to care for our souls. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. He tells us we have to do the hard work of actually centering our lives around him and his word. A soul can only be saved through inviting the presence of Jesus into every part of who we are. And what do we call that? We call that discipleship. Learning to live our lives like Jesus would live them if he were us. But like I said, and we talked a lot about this on the weekend actually too, so I won't hammer it too hard. But we need help to do that, We need others. And that's what brings me to the next part, is relationships. One more slide. So Jesus was at what once asked, right? Teacher, what's the greatest commandment? Of like all the laws, all the commandments, which one's the most important? And Jesus can't give them one, he gives them two, right? It's like, what's your favorite movie? And you're like, I don't know, that's too hard to say. And so you tell people two, right? That's sort of that's not what he's doing here, actually. It kind of seems like it, but he's not sneaking in the second one. But this is what he says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And you're like, wait a minute. Didn't you just say a second one? But then he says this, there is no commandment greater than these. You're like, wait, what? There is no commandment, singular, greater than these, plural. So he puts those two together. You know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, Trinity, he's really comfortable with multiple things being one thing, right? He's very comfortable with that. Is it three? Is it one? So every devout Jew, from Jesus' day to like ours, they pray this prayer every single day, twice a day, in morning and evening. That first part, the love your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, that's a very ritual prayer to pray. So that wouldn't have surprised, you know, the Jews of the day that him picking that, because they were like, yeah, that's like, you know, for Christians, it's like picking John 3:16. We're like, yeah, it's a good one. It's a gooder, right? But he mashes it together with this challenge that you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And he's saying that those two things are inseparable. You can't love God and say you love God and not love people. These things go together. They're inseparable. John, 1 John chapter 4 says, if we say we love God yet hate our brother or sister, we are liars. For if we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. And he's given us this commandment that those who love God must also love one another. It's basically the greatest litmus test of whether you actually are a lover of God, is how you treat people, how you love people, how you demonstrate your love for God in the way that you love the people he created. And so this whole call to care for our souls, we can't do it alone. There's nothing that God wants us to do alone. We need to do it in community. We need to do it within relationship with others. Next slide. So it ends up being a bit a part of who we are. You ever hear that, you know, birds of a feather flock together? Kind of like you end up being your friend circle, right? And there's a big element of truth to that, right? Like I said earlier, some of the biggest decisions you can make are choosing what environments you're putting yourself in and then who you're spending your time with. And so in some ways I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are here. Yes! You know, you're choosing a good environment to be in, right? This is going to help you just by showing up and being here, no matter what I talk about or how good the band is or how funny Zach is, you know. No, just kidding. Right? Just being here and being with other Christians who are committed to that same thing of trying to learn how to love God well and how to love people well during here. It's going to be critical. But you could go a step further, right? You could commit yourselves to actually journeying with a small group of people you get to know deeper and that you can pray for, you can love for, you can actually live this stuff out. At UCM, we call that a core group. And, you know, I'll just pitch that one more time. But, I mean, you know, it's no joke, but like we do that because we think that's the best way for you to care for your soul and to care for others. And so if you don't have that kind of thing in your life, it doesn't have to be a UCM core group, but do you have a core group of people who you're doing life with and learning to follow Jesus? Because if you don't, you're not going to make this, you're not going to do this very long. It's going to be very hard. Your soul, it's going to be hard to care for your soul. You need to develop those kind of people in your life to help you do it. Amen? Amen.